Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from Wallin Consulting, Dan Wallin.
All right. Hey, I'm excited to be here. Friends, the Ron Bougnion's over in Switzerland watching, I know, and we have Kelly up in Canada with her company and a couple friends in Albuquerque and Phoenix and Southern California, so a lot of cool stuff. So I hope everybody's had fun. As was mentioned, my name's Dan Wallin, and I'm going to talk to you for the next exciting 45 minutes about WCF RIA services. If you thought that 3D demo was cool with the tattoo, wait till you see mine with data. It's amazing. And we don't have any 3D, but so I hope you had a good morning. If you saw Jesse's talk, I'm not even going to attempt comedy because the last words out of my wife's mouth were specifically, don't say anything that can get us sued. And I was like, okay, I'll shut up. So what we're going to be talking about is how to get started with RIA services. Plus, I'm going to throw in some what I hope is real world stuff for you guys. And real quick, just for the people that are here live in front of me, because I know we have the overflow, how many are using RIA services right now? Anybody? Okay. So quite a few of you. A lot more had used WCF, I think. So when I first started using WCF, and we've been working on an application for the last 18 months that I didn't get to demo, but, you know, wasn't that cool, I guess. But, you know, we've had a lot of good stuff that's gone on, but we've also, as Yavor mentioned when he in the last talk, when he compared the two, there's a lot of big time-saving things you can do with WCF RIA services. So I'm going to talk through some of that in this particular talk, and we'll jump right in here. So just kind of the agenda. Number one, I always like to start off with, you know, why do I care? Why would I want to use this in my applications? And so we'll go into the benefits. Then we're going to go into the key players. Now, for me, I kept hearing the word domain, 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 domain service, domain context, domain this, domain that. And I wasn't quite sure, you know, which was which when I first got started. So we're going to break that down. I have hopefully some slides here that'll be real simple. And then once we get done with that, I'm going to walk through a really quick workflow process of here's what you do. And then pretty much the rest of the time is just demos we're going to walk through. And then to wrap up, we'll have somebody what's new. They haven't been sitting around. They've been pretty busy. So some of the benefits that you'll see. Number one, it is built on WCF. In fact, there's even an SVC file that Yavor talked about earlier that is just built in behind the scenes. So it is built on all those concepts. Probably my favorite feature and the number one feature that would have saved us time, as I mentioned, the app that we're wrapping up right now, was built on WCF, and it's gone very well. The customer's happy, and everything's great there. But I'll tell you one thing. We have a lot of object tracking, a lot of dirty state that we have to monitor, you know, inserted, updated, deleted, and we have to track different objects in lots of grids and things like that. I'm going to show you in the demos coming up how that's a lot easier when we jump in here. So shared validation, this is another thing you run into. Now, WCF, if you want to do validation, you certainly could. We have the different interfaces within Silverlight, the iData error info and the notify and all that type of stuff. But RIA services really does simplify the process a whole bunch. And so I'll show you a little sample of that as we jump into the demos and explain kind of how that works. What else we have? We have data sources. For those of you that aren't, you know, you got to be really productive and not going to be able to do any of the code I'm going to show you. There are some really cool drag-and-drop features as well. Now, I'm not going to focus on those in this talk, but I am going to show a real quick demo of that, you know, based on time anyway. So, security. Now, Yavor did a great job, I thought, showing Windows authentication and then ASP.NET authentication. It's been easier, though, in WCF RIA services. You can add a couple attributes, check roles, check if they're authenticated, very, very straightforward. And we'll be doing some login stuff coming up. And then finally, client queries. There's times where you may not have control over the domain service. And as a result of that, you know, you can't change. Maybe you want to filter something differently. But you don't want to return all the results back to the client and then filter. You want to do it on the server side. Well, WCF RIA Services has something called query composition, where I can actually do a link query in Silverlight, and that actually gets forwarded up to the server to get our data and executed there. And that way we don't download these big old result sets and have to then manipulate them on the client side. So that's the benefits. All right, real quick, the players. So we're going to be building from scratch a domain service. And I think Dinesh is in here somewhere. He's on the RIA Services team. So happy to have him here. And based on that, we're going to be using metadata classes. So this will be all our server-side data that we're going to get to, much like Yavor did when he created the authentication service and the data service. In addition to that, we're going to have some validation we're going to do. We're going to have some security attributes we're going to get into. And then I'll show you the shared code feature. So now, before I jump into the client side, so every time you hear the word, if you're new to this, domain service, I'm specifically talking about server side, service, server, all that type of stuff. Because you're going to see, in addition to the server side stuff that we're going to go into, we also have the client side stuff. Little different name, though. So the domain context, this would be very analogous to what you'd have with a proxy object. The nice thing is with WCF RIA Services, you'll see if you haven't done it before, you don't actually have to build your project from the standpoint of I got to add a service reference, I got to keep that updated, and then rebuild and all that. In WCF RIA Services, just build and you're done. It's automatically going to have that added. All right, so what do we have on the client side? So now we're switching to Silverlight. So the domain context is the object you're going to see me use to go through and get my data, and we're going to execute some queries. The queries are called entity queries. Now, out of the box, WCF RIA Services supports Entity Framework and Link to SQL. But, I don't know, we have any in Hibernate fans in here at all? I see a couple, yeah, all right. Plinko, some other frameworks, and there's a whole bunch of others out there. Any of those frameworks are fair game. When we get done, I'm going to show kind of the traditional demo where it's going to generate the code for me, but I have another demo that does the same exact thing where I abstract all the code out of the service, the domain service, to make it easier to query and more reusable. So jumping back into the Silverlight side, we have this proxy that can call back to the service. We can execute queries against it. We can also get back our entities, and then once we get back those entities, of course, we can bind them and do all the normal stuff that Jesse showed this morning. And the way we do that is an entity query is based upon something called a load operation, which you're going to see in a moment. All right. So a load operation is very, very simple. In fact, some of the asynchronous stuff that Yavor showed, you can even bypass that if you want. It's still asynchronous, but it doesn't really look asynchronous, which is pretty nice. And then moving on down, we have my favorite feature, which is the object tracking. And that is where we can actually go in and track deletions, insertions, updates, things of that nature. All right, so that's all our client side. So domain service on the server to get our data. Domain context is the proxy on the client side that we're going to go through to work with that data. So with that, let me show you a little bit about the process I'm going to go through, and then we're going to jump into some demos here. So number one, there is a business template that's available. Some of you have probably used the navigation template. Some of you might have just built a Silverlight application. But the business application is specific to RIA Services, and I'll show you some of that coming up. And what we're going to do is build an entity model based upon our data that we'd like to get to. Now, I already have one in place. You've already showed it, actually. And if you didn't guess, we're going to do books. So we're really into the book theme this week. Once we have that taken care of, we can then create our domain service, and we can add some queries into the domain service. And then we can customize our business rules, all that type of stuff, and hopefully have success there. All right, so that's kind of the agenda of what we're going to go through. So let me jump over and show you what we're going to build first, and then we'll kind of go from there. So I don't know if this looks familiar in the slightest. I think you've seen it like 8 times now. But this particular app, let me start with Jesse. Jesse showed doing some just data binding where the data was all local, right? Yavor then showed how to do the same type of thing, but with all WCF service calls. And now I'm going to do it the same thing with WCF RIA Services. So the part we're going to focus on, this part's going to be done for us. But I'm going to go over to login. You'll notice up top I have checkouts and books. So let me come up to the login here. And I'm just going to log in as me really quick. And we'll keep myself logged in temporarily. All right, you'll notice an admin link shows up. Now, another really nice feature that I didn't list in the benefits, well, there was a security, but it didn't give details, was it's really easy to get to the roles the user's in. Now, if those of you that have built Silverlight apps already will know that to do that on your own, you're going to have to write some type of a service that returns the roles. You're going to have to find a way to get the user identity, a lot of times through a service call, because that's not something directly available in Silverlight. Well, with WCF Free of Services, it is. And so some of the stuff that we're going to demo is, I just have a pretty simple data grid. But we're going to demonstrate object tracking. And so you're going to see I'm going to go into a view model class that is bound to this screen here. And we're going to enhance it to call our domain service and work with the data. So what we're going to do first is jump into how do you create the domain service, what's that look like, and you'll see it's actually very simple once you get into it. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and close our solution down here, and let me open up a new one. All right, so I have a solution, and all the code here, including there's some other demos we'll run at the end that'll be completed for you, will be done, and I'll put that up on my blog when we get done here today. So, all right, so the first thing to do is we need some way to get our data. Now, again, this could be raw ADO.NET. It could be whatever you want, link to SQL and Indie Framework and Hibernate. Out of the box, though, if you just want to get started really, really quickly, Indie Framework 4 is definitely a good way to go there, or link to SQL. So you'll notice that we have very much what Yavor showed earlier, so I'm not going to go into it a whole lot, but we have some entities. We have a book. We have the book a day. We have a checkout down here, categories for the books, all that type of stuff. Pretty straightforward. So what I'm going to do is, now that you've seen that, we're going to come down and look in our services. Now, this code that you see right in the services folder here, you'll see that we have an authentication service here and a user registration service. The way I got started with this project, just for those that are brand new to it, is I went into File New Project, and on File New Project, there's this business template application. So we have Silverlight business application right there. So we clicked on that. That automatically generated authentication features, role features, registration, all that kind of cool stuff, including the login screen. I didn't write that. That was just kind of built into the template, and it was customized a little bit. That's it. Now what it does, just so you know the kind of how the magic's going to work here, is if we come up to the Silverlight project and right-click and go to Properties, you're going to see in the Properties down here, there's a link, WCF Free of Services link to bookshelf.web, which is, of course, the web host project. And so what that's doing is automatically linking those two together, and you'll see why that's important when I build here in just a bit. But that's when you create that business template, that's what you're going to get out of the box. All right, so let's come on down, and what we'd like to do is expose some book data for that admin screen. So we're going to kind of work from that and the other screens. So we're going to come up to Add, and we're going to do New Item, and I'm going to specifically add a domain service. So we're going to scroll down to a domain service class right there. And I'm going to call this Book Club Service. So we'll go ahead and get that in. All right. And Book Club Service, this is our server-side piece that's going to allow us to get our data, very equivalent to what Yavor did with the WCF service. In fact, this is actually wrapping WCF behind the scenes. Now, a real quick tip here. For those that maybe haven't worked this as much, once you first add your entity framework or your link to SQL model, you always want to build, because what will happen, I found sometimes, is if you see nothing show up, you'll notice it picked up my book club entities. If you don't see that for whatever reason, then just do a build. It'll show up. Rerun it. Works pretty good. So what I'm going to do is select the entities I want to expose. So I'm going to select these, what do I got there, 4 or 5, and we'll enable editing on the book. All right, now what this is going to do is expose those specific entities. Now, obviously, in a real-world app, you might have, you know, 50 or 100, or some of you might have even more than that in your applications. Well, this is your chance to say, what does my app actually want to expose? And from a security standpoint, you'd, of course, you know, want to limit the surface of what you expose. So obviously, only, it goes without saying, only check what you need. Now, before hitting OK, let's talk about some of the other options. You'll notice up top we have enable client access. Just leave that checked. That basically what that says is let Silverlight talk to it. You'll also notice that we have an OData option. If you'd like to expose, it's a read-only OData REST API. If you'd like to do that, if you've used ADO.NET data services before, then you can do that as well. For this demo, we're not going to use that. But then coming on down, we have this generate associated classes for metadata. I would recommend always leave that checked. You're going to see it generates a whole bunch of code for us that's very, very useful for things like including subobjects when data is returned to the client, for validation, and for even some other things that you can do. So I'm going to go ahead and we'll hit OK, and this will create our domain service. You're going to see I'm going to get a ton of code out of the box here. All right, so that checkbox at the top, there's my enable client access. You just want to leave that guy. And then you'll notice mine is using ASP.NET, authentication. And if I was using Windows Forms or even ASP.NET, either way, I can actually go in and say, hey, this whole thing has to be secured. And I can secure it at the class level or even go down to the methods you're going to see for this particular application. And you'll see this requires authentication, and you can even require roles if you want to have specific groups that are allowed. All right, so just let's take a real quick look here at what we have. So we have a get books. We have an insert book because I said that the book should be editable. And so you're going to see insert, updated, and delete. And all the code's been written for you. Now, this is the what you get out of the box. For those of you that might already have some back-end, you know, repository layer classes, data access layer type stuff, you can do that too. And I'm going to show that at the end of the demo here. So what I'm going to do is actually I have some customizations I've done. So we're going to kind of wipe out the default. And we're going to add in some code here. All right, so the first thing I want to do is when I get books, I want to make sure that I also include our categories. Now, the object context you see there, that is related to WCF RIA services, but think of it as it's just a wrapper around your data context of Entity Framework, and that's all it does. They've added some pretty cool methods, though, to make inserts, updates, deletes that much easier to work with. So what I'm going to do is we're going to say, hey, I would like to include... Now, where did I get that from? Well, if I went back to the entity model, you'd see that that was a link between book and category. So we're going to include the category of the book, and then we can do an order by and just do a simple lambda here, the book's type. All right, so pretty basic stuff there. Let me wrap that down so you can see it all, since I like to generally structure it like this anyway. All right, so there's a really simple what we call query. Now, one thing to point out, notice iQueryable up there. Remember I said earlier, Silverlight can actually execute sorting and filtering operations right in Silverlight, but it won't actually run them in Silverlight. It'll pass those along up to this domain operation. And this is a query operation, so anytime you see iQueryable, it's a query. iQueryable, iEnumerable, or a specific entity that's returned is generally a query, we call it. Okay, the next thing I'm going to do is let's come in and we're going to do another iQueryable of book, and we need to get books by category. So I'm going to call this get books by category, and this is going to take the category ID. All right, now I could really do, you know, this already gets books. We just want to filter by our query. So in, you know, some of the code, you might just duplicate that down, I suppose, but it's easier in this case to, I'm just going to say return get books because we already have the books, and then I'm going to do a filter based upon the category. And there's, you know, multiple ways we could do this, but we'll say where the books category ID equals the cat ID that was passed in here. All right. So that'd be another example. Now, I have a couple more, and I have code snippets for all these, mainly in case I, you know, fall flat on my face and choke, but in this case, in the interest of time. So We're going to also come in, and we have our Get Books by category, but we also have this Get Book of Days. And John actually showed a real cool demo this morning, if you recall, where he showed the breakpoints you can set in XAML. I don't know about you guys, but I was like, that was one of the coolest things I saw, because it's a killer when you have to worry about that stuff. And then I do want my insert, update, delete. I've tweaked those just slightly, so I just have a snippet. This is be the fastest code you've ever seen typed in your life right here. Watch this. You ready? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very impressive, I know. So, okay. So it's really the same thing you saw. I just have I hard-coded a member ID here and there, so to make it work right. Okay, so there's our Git books. iQueryable, we have iQueryable of book for Git books by category, and then we also come down and we have the book of the day that's available. Now, the last thing I'm going to do on the server side, which is the last step from the slides, is I'm going to go in to the metadata class. Now, what we have here is we already have a book entity, and that was generated from Entity Framework, but we're going to have a partial class here so we can tack on some stuff. You'll notice it's associated with what oftentimes is called a buddy class. It's a metadata class that's kind of piggybacks on that can provide some validation and stuff like that. So I'm going to come on down into my buddy class and just show you some simple stuff we can do. And you'll notice they actually give you some really good tips to get started. Now, if you're using Entity Framework or Linked to SQL out of the box, if the entity itself has required fields it knew from the database, this is smart. Rhea Services is smart enough to leverage those for validation. I'm going to show you just a kind of a quick one, show you an example. So there's nothing like typing a regular expression live, right? Everyone love regex? This one's simple, so I think I can hopefully do this one, but if I can type it right. So we're going to do a regular expression. Now, an ASIN IN is, I don't know, it's one of those numbers, associated with a book. I actually have to admit I have no idea what the rules are there, but we're going to do this. We're going to say it's got to be a numeric digit from 1 to 10 in length, and that's going to be our regex. So, and that's about all I can do without regex buddy, which is a little tool I've used. Otherwise, I got to go look that stupid stuff up. But, whoa, what happened there? Okay. We still up? Yep. All right. So we're going to come into here, and now what I want to do is, by default, this will just say that, hey, there's a problem with ASIN, but I want to make it so that we actually have an error message. So we're going to say error message equals, and we'll just say, numeric digits only or something like that. All right, and that's our error message. So you can customize that, and even has a way you can do, for those that have to do multilingual apps, you can even do that as well. Because it's all localizable, I should say. Okay, so that's the first thing. Now, the next thing we need to do is you saw back here that I had a couple includes. Now, if you haven't done that before, this is an Entity Framework specific thing, and Linked to SQL has something similar, and Hibernate does, all of them, all the ORMs. I'm saying for each book, I would like to include the sub-object called category, but that's just Linked to SQL. That has nothing to do with WCF Rhea Services, at least at this point. So what I have to do is WCF Rhea Services, by default, it kind of protects us from ourselves. If you've ever looked using like Fiddler at some of the data that goes back and forth, you might go, oh, geez, I didn't realize I was doing all that junk. And you might strip some out. Well, the include does include it. However, Rhea Services will not include it unless I come in and do the following. If we come up to category, I do have to tell Rhea Services that I also want to include it. So yes, you do have to do that twice, but one is for Entity Framework, one is for Rhea Services. So I'm going to do a couple of these, and then we'll wrap up our server side. So let's come on down, and Book of the Day is also going to return as a nested object a book. Category is going to return a books collection for each category. And checkout metadata class is going to do a book and a member. So we'll come on down into here. All right, now Rhea Services knows which child classes should be allowed to be returned, serialized back. All right, so now what we'll do is, basically we'll see how bad I screwed it up. And we'll do a build here on the server side. That's good. Now I'm going to go ahead and build the whole thing. because that's going to lead us into the next. Now, we're going to get a build air right now, just to let you know that I know that there will be a build air. And that's because we have some unfinished code that's in the client side, in the Silverlight side. But let's go ahead and do it. And that puts us back, we'll probably get like, I think it's 3 errors or something, but we'll fix those right after here. All right, so that is how to create a domain service using WCF Ria Services. And I hope you look at that and go, well, geez, I can write a class with methods. I mean, it's not that hard. So let's switch on back. And now what we're going to talk about is how we can actually go in and use the client-side stuff, the domain context that I talked about. So the domain service, again, to emphasize, is on the server side. And then on the client side, we're going to need to now use the proxy that can talk with the service called the domain context. So the domain context we're going to use, we're going to create an instance, and then we're going to go in and create a load operation. And you're going to see a load operation is very, very simple. The way I'm going to do it is actually going to be quite similar to what Yavor did, minus I'm not going to have to handle any event callbacks, but I am going to have a callback using a delegate. Once we have the load operation, we can go in and we can then get those entities off of our load operation. I'll show you how to do that step there. And then we can go in and we'll say the user now gets the data, and we're going to track changes, and we can submit that back to the server, do our inserts, updates, deletes, whatever it is you need to do in your application. All right, so let me go ahead, and now that we've seen that, let's jump into a demo here on using the domain context. So we have our server side pretty good to go. Our domain service is ready. Our very simple validation is ready, but keep in mind I can add even custom validators can be added into here. So there's a lot of cool stuff you can do there. What's nice about it is it's all going to be shared with the client side. So let me show you first off what's going to happen here. Once this goes away. All right, there we go. Does anybody else get nervous when you see that stupid thing spinning? And you're like, why are you spinning? You know, especially when you're given a demo. All right. Because I built, you'll notice I have this bookshelf.web.g.cs. Or VB if you're doing that. And if I go into the types that are available, this is the proxy. So I don't have to add a service reference. Just by building, because I showed you the link between those two projects, it automatically does that for me. So we go in and we take care of that. And you'll notice there's my book a day, all that. The ones I want to point out, though, I called it Book Club Service, or I often will actually call it Domain Service to be really brutally obvious. Book Club context, that is the equivalent of what Yavor created when he did the add service reference. We just don't have to do that. It does it automatically by building, which keeps it pretty nice and simple. Another one of my favorite things you get, though, is this guy, web context. Generally, you will spend at least a decent amount of time passing around roles or user credentials and stuff like that because, you know, in Silverlight, you can't get to that directly due to the sandbox. So with web context, we can. So you're going to see me use that one as well. All right, so what we're going to do, this particular application, John's going to come up next. He hasn't had enough today. You know, two demos in the keynote, MVVM talk. He's going to do MVVM. So I'm not going to go into what MVVM is. I'm going to let John do all the fun for you. But this is using the MVVM pattern, kind of a fundamental pattern. So I'm going to open up admin view model. Now, this is the class that is actually bound to that data grid screen I showed you right when I started the presentation. Okay, this is the one where you can insert, update, delete, all that type of stuff. So I'm going to come on in, and what we're going to do is the first thing we need is to be able to create our proxy. So I'm just going to create it right up top here. We have a book club context, and I'm going to give it a really obvious name of context. All right, so that's our instance of our proxy, if you will, our communication gateway to the service. Then we're going to come in and we're going to add some operations to get data. Now, obviously, we need, I didn't show you the categories piece, but I will. We need books because that's what shows in the data grid, but there's also a nested combo box in the data grid rows to select the category for the book. So we're going to do both. So I'm going to say load books. And let me just, we'll do this one. I have a snippet for it, but once you get the pattern, you'll see it follows for all this stuff. So we're going to call load books. And in here, I'm going to say, let's take our context and let's load some data. Now, what this takes is when I put this out and do the load, the fourth overload here of five is the one I'm going to use. And you'll see that it takes something called an entity query. Well, remember on the server side, we have get books. That's the one I customized and added the include for categories. Well, we also have, as a result of the compiling and getting the proxy, the domain context, we have a get books query, and that's called an entity query. So it's always the name of your domain service plus query tacked on the end of it. So we'll go ahead, and in here, I'm going to say, off of the context, let's call get books query. All right, now, I could just go right there, and this actually gives me back, you'll see, a load operation. And I, at that point, could assign load operation, whatever the object is, LO I'm going to call it, dot entities. I could assign that to some property and do no asynchronous code. It would automatically load it, return the load operation, and then I can get back some entities. Now, you're going to see me use that in a slightly different way because I want a callback in this case. But it is really nice that you don't necessarily have to see the async if you don't want to see it. But we're going to go ahead and use it because it makes it just so much more fun. So we're going to do load books, callback, and I got to make that. And that's going to take any user state. I want to pass the callback. We don't have any. So we're going to just put null there. All right, so let's come on down. Let's add our callback here real quick. And so we'll do a load books. I got a better idea. There we go. Now, this is going to take that load operation and of type book. And I'm just going to call it LO. Now, the reason I'm doing the callback is down here in this class, in the properties, I have, just, don't you hear people scroll up and down? Sorry. But the books is an observable collection of book. Okay, I want to bind the entities to this books property. Well, going back up, we're going to come into here, and so I'm just going to say books equals, and obviously you can, just to show you, you can do things such as check errors. We get into error, we can get into has error, and there's all kinds of stuff, and in a real one, you'd want to do that when you have more than 45 minutes. I'm already running out of time here. So we're going to say books equals LO dot entities, but LO dot entities, you'll see, is an IEnumerable, not an observable. So no big deal. Thankfully, in Silverlight 4, they added the enhanced observable collection, which now takes an IEnumerable. Awesome. Saves a lot of time compared to the old days. Okay, so there's our load books. Now, I'm going to come back up here, and just so I don't forget, when the constructor's called, we want to load our books and get our data. And then for the rest of this stuff, I have some snippets in the interest of time here, because there's a lot more to show you. And so we're going to come in and we're going to do load categories. Now look at the pattern there. It's the same thing, right? I just call load categories query, and I have a get categories callback, and I'm checking if something's null there, but not anything too fancy here. So very simple. We get back a load operation of category. Now the final thing, and this is my favorite feature of all, because I've really stayed up past midnight with trying to get this other feature to work, which is tracking dirty state of objects. You know, there's a lot of work involved. We have grids, not on every screen, but man, they want a lot of grids in this app we were doing. And so as a result, you know, I suppose you could take the standpoint of, well, just delete everything in the database and re-add everything in the grid. Bad idea, right? So instead, you can use object tracking. And so let me kind of show you how this works. We have a save books here, so I'm going to just put that in. So what we're going to do is, you saw earlier when I showed really quickly, there's the grid, and right above it I had the remove row, the update row, or the delete row, or what was it, insert row, and the button that would submit the changes, right? Well, when that gets called, that's going to call this method when the button's clicked, and has changes is going to be checked. Now, if it has a change, we're going to go ahead and say, okay, cool. Submit any changed entities back to the server and have it do its thing, which is pretty dang nice. Notice we have a save books callback, no user state to pass. Moving on down, this is our callback. Okay, we don't have a load operation, we have a submit operation now. that's just generic across all your entities. So we handle our submit operation. Now, this is where it gets really cool. From here, normally in a real app, I'd probably have an if statement, and I check if SO has error, and then I can get into the error.message, and I can get into all that cool stuff if you want to show that, which I would recommend. But I'm just going to do a real quick and dirty way here. I want to prove it's truly updating what it says it is. So there's a change set property off of your submit operation. And what this allows you to do is anything that was committed back, inserts, updates, and deletes, you can get through it to it through that change set. Very, very easy to do. So you say, hey, go into my submit operation, go into the change set, and give me the added entities. And I could even enumerate through those if I wanted. I don't want to, but I do want to get the count. And then I'm just going to have a little message that I build up based on inserts, updates, deletes. Pretty straightforward there. All right, so that is how we can use the domain context to call back to the server and then bind our data to the appropriate properties and all that good stuff. The final thing I'm going to show you in here is a really big time saver. So I showed you earlier that by virtue of creating a business template, what do you get out of the box? Well, out of the box, you get some authentication, some role management, all that good stuff, and I'm going to use roles in this particular app. So I showed you earlier this web context, and you do, you know, for those that have done like httpcontext.current, you know, if you've been doing this a while with the website, you're pretty comfortable with that. We can come in and go to the current authentication, and for this screen, it's an admin screen. So I want to make sure that nobody can get to this screen unless they're in an admin role. So I'm going to show you a property that's down in this class in just a sec. So if I scroll down, there's all kinds of stuff you can get to here, but we're concerned with logged in. So I want to know when they logged in, because when they do log in, I need to make sure that I recheck so that the user interface can show or hide, you know, whatever it needs to do. So we'll come on in and we'll go ahead and attach to that, and we're going to basically do the same thing for the logged out. So we'll come to the logged out, and I'll give it that same guy, which should be my clipboard, and there we go. So what all this does is it raises the property change. So for those that might be a little newer to this, Jesse talked about iNotify property changed. That's all it does. It just raises the event. So anything bound to this particular property right there, that little property there simply calls this check user enroll. So it's going to cause it to recheck that property, which will recall that method, which will check for the admin role. So I just have one more little piece of code to add. Let's shrink that guy up now. And that is going to be right in here. We're returning false that they're not in the role. So I'm going to come to here. We need to return, hey, well, what role are they in? Well, again, if you've done this with some other frameworks, it's pretty easy. So we're going to come in and say web context that guy dot current dot user dot is in role. And then we're going to pass it whatever role was passed into that method there. Okay, and that's all you got to do, check roles. Really, really simple. So whether this is ASP.NET or ASP.NET authentication or Windows, works the same. You can use it for both those. And then, again, what's going to happen is when we log in, this gets called. We'll recheck that is admin property, which is going to call and return the updated status. So pretty cool. All right, so that's kind of the wrap-up on the client side. So now we created our domain context. We're going to load our data. And I, you guys were waiting. Some of you probably caught this. Were waiting for me to fail, weren't you? Because I didn't ever load categories. Which is why at the end of every module, you always review what you just did. Mainly, it's not for you guys. It's to make sure I didn't screw up. But we're going to load books. We're going to load categories. You saw how to do that. And then we have our submit changes, and we have our security, you know, all within a pretty quick time frame. So let's try to rebuild. This one will take a little bit longer. And then we're going to run the app, which is going to hopefully look like the one I just showed you earlier. But I'll run through the whole thing. All right, so we're looking pretty good there. Let's come on down. We'll go ahead and run it. And you'll notice that there is no, or there should not be anyway, an admin link. Let me get ready on my machine. for whatever reason, every now and then I got to hit refresh the first time. Nope, looks good. All right. Now, I'm already logged in, and I actually didn't mean to be. So you'll notice there's no admin link, but what if somebody goes, they knew the name of, you know, they knew how Silverlight works, and they knew that there was an admin view. Okay, well, they're going to get to it and get that message, so they can still hack around. Now, I probably would use the navigation service and, I don't know, back to the main screen, who knows. But now what we can do is this is using the web context authentication things. So we'll go ahead and log back in. And I'll keep myself logged in. And there we go. Now that goes away, and now we're kind of in business here. We can work with our grid. So let me just show you real quick what we can do now. So we have this seven-slide solution telling your business story. We've got really good, and we've got it down to five slides now. So we're going to update that. And let's come in and add a new row. And there's some built-in entity framework validation that WCF RIA service is tied into. So I'm going to come in, and we're just going to hack some data in here. And over here to the right is my categories. Oh, there it is. So we're going to pick a category. Now when I hit save changes, the submit changes gets invoked that I just showed you in the code. And that's going to go in, and that's the message you get. One book was added, one was updated. So we did an insert and all that. Now, I know you probably don't believe me, so let's refresh quick. And we should see that there we go. We have our different record. Let's go ahead and remove that. And we decided that five just isn't enough, so we'll go back to seven, hit save changes, and there we go. One was updated, one was deleted. Okay, very nice. Again, if you're doing much change tracking, I'd highly recommend look at something like this because it's a lot of work otherwise. Now, the final thing I'm going to do here before I wrap up with a couple extra things, I'm going to talk briefly about new features, is you can do all this with code. And for those of you that want to follow what John's going to talk about next, which is MVVM, you know, this is the way to go. But some of you may say, ah, you know, I just need a, maybe it's just a quick and dirty page, or from a productivity standpoint, you don't want to write any code to do this. So what we can do is come into our views, and I have one set up here called Data Source Demo, and we can actually drag and drop too if you want. And so let me go ahead and switch over to Design View here. This is something I like the MVVM pattern. So it's not something I use a lot, but it is great for a couple reasons. Number one, if you want to get a bunch of labels or some data grids quickly on your screen, this will make it easy. So let's say that we wanted category, and then under that, that we wanted books. So we can just drag those guys on once it catches up with me. All right, do it. There we go. And what will happen now is the categories are loaded, and then when you select a category, the books are going to be selected. Well, maybe. Let's see what happens. So I'm going to go ahead and build a solution. We'll rerun the project. I'm going to go directly to this data source demo XAML view. And there we go. We'll wait for it to reload here real quick. And all right, there we go. So what this is using behind the scenes is something called a domain data source. So if you've ever used you know, SQL data source or object data source, it's kind of analogous to that type of thing. So I'm going to come up here, and we're going to type data source demo. And you'll notice, hey, it looks great, except for I have no books. Why? Well, if we go back to our domain service, which apparently I closed. Nope, there it is. And we go into our get categories. Remember, we talked about include stuff. All right, so in here, you'll see we're getting the categories, but we're not getting for each category the books. So we have to tell Entity Framework that we need to include books. Now, I already did the include in the metadata file. All right, and then if we we run it again, we'll run the file, and we'll pretty much be in business here. And I love this big old freaking timer that tells me I'm almost out of time. So we're going to hurry up because I have one more cool thing I want to show you. All right, so let's go up to View Browser. We'll go to the data source. And now we should hopefully get some books. And again, it's like, look, Mom, no code. You know, pretty nice when you want that. All right, so we'll go to Data Source Demo. And there we go. So now it doesn't look so hot, but get a good designer like some of the guys that did the 3D demo. That was pretty good. All right, and that's as 3D as I get. That was 2D, actually, two grids. We're not going much more than that. I don't have anything with the wow effect. All right, the last thing I want to show you before we talk to end about a couple new features is I'm not going to do a code on this one, but I'm going to close the solution and open up a new one. And I told you earlier that you can use this particular technology with anything as far as ORMs or data access technology. So let me open up this guy and show you how I've refactored the same exact app. So it does the same things. You can insert, update, delete. You can get the books like John showed and Jesse and Yavor. But I've now refactored all my code into a repository layer. And so now all of my queries are being executed in this class here and then being returned out so that I have one place to go to, I can reuse this class across any type of app I want. Now, how's that change the domain service? Well, number one, I only inherit, the other one inherited from what's called linked to entities domain service. This one just inherits from domain service. I'm not going to lock it down to a specific data access technology. I want it to be as abstracted as possible. Well, what I'm going to do is feed in our book repository, and you could use dependency injection and all that junk here, but we're going to call into it and get back our books and then go from there. And so we have our update, our delete, and you'll notice there's really no code. And in my opinion, that's how services should be. They should be a gateway into your code. Now, John may get up here in just a second and say I'm totally full of it, but that's my take on it. I think it's better for reuse and things like that. All right, so let's go ahead and to wrap up, I'm going to switch back and we're going to talk real quick about to wrap up with a couple things. I just did that demo there. Some of the new things. So as I mentioned, I had a chance yesterday to sit one-on-one with Jeff Hanley, who's one of the team members. Depesh, Dinesh have both helped a lot with filling me in on all this good stuff and early bits and things. So the first thing you'll see up there, WCF RIA Services, the business template is now cloud ready. So if you're into the cloud and Azure and all that good stuff, then that's going to be a reality for you. Complex types are now supported. If you have a customer with a complex type of address that has city, state, zip, something like that, that's now supported out of the box. And that includes the entity framework complex types, POCOs, and all that good stuff. So if you've run into this, you know that this is a good thing. And this is all in Service Pack 1. This is stuff you can do right now and download. And on my blog, I'll put some links to this. Shared entities. People would try to modularize their services, and what would happen is they'd have a customer here and a customer here in both services, and it would get duplicated, or you'd get an error on the client side. Now it's smarter about it, and it will actually share entities across domain services, which is nice. Anybody into T4 templates in here? Not a whole lot. Okay. Yeah, one or two. So T4 templates are awesome. If you haven't used them, that's what Entity Framework uses to generate its entities. And they're going to have support for that. Now, that is still in the early phases. It's in what's called the RIA Services Toolkit. So they're definitely looking for feedback on that if any of you are interested. So definitely give them the feedback if you have it. Now, the final thing is the domain data source I mentioned. That was the one where I did drag and drop. Not very MVVM compliant at all, which is what John's going to talk about right now. They've now added this domain collection view object, and it's like super steroid MVVM compliant object that still allows you to do some of the cool, easy stuff, but still be compliant with an MVVM pattern. So pretty nice. And there's even more. Kyle, who's on the team, just posted a blog today about some of the different binding they're doing now. Again, I'll put that up on my blog so that you guys can know how to get to all that. So that's kind of what's new. So John, who definitely get to see a lot of John today. You back there, John? He's like, get off, Dan. He's done a lot with Dinesh and Depesh and all them working with, and Kyle, I think, has been on too, on Silverlight TV. So I'd recommend go check out Silverlight TV. There's at least three, probably more episodes I know of just on what we've talked about. So if you want more of that, feel free to tune in. And with that, I really appreciate you guys sitting through the presentation. I'll post the code and links and all that right there on the blog. So thanks a lot for coming.